Hi everyone, this is Matt Price, one of the hosts for the longest-running Dynasty-focused podcast on the planet, the DLF Dynasty Podcast. Each week, we'll bring you an episode packed with relevant and actionable Dynasty information that you can use to help win your league. When I'm in the host chair, we might even play a game or two. We are always open to topic suggestions, so if there's something you'd like to hear us discuss, please let us know. Thanks for listening.
Hello everyone, and welcome to the Trade Addicts Podcast, where the first step is admitting you have a problem. Please welcome your hosts for today's session, Dynasty Outhouse and Brian Hart.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Brian Haar, and I also have a trading problem.
I'm Spoonie, and I also have a trading problem.
Spoonie!
Hey, guys.
All right. Real quick, before we start anything, I have to talk about Spoonie for a second. First of all, Spoonie was the first... Ask a lot of people that have Dynasty or Fantasy or whatever in their name who the first person to ever really respond to them and talk to them was, and the answer is going to be Spoonie, and it absolutely was with me. Awesome dude, just to put it out there. Also, I've been calling Spoonie my fantasy twinsie because we like the exact same guys, to the point where I've typed "damn it, Spoonie" in capital letters with exclamation points so many times that whenever I type Spoonie on my phone, it auto-capitalizes the entire word.
Oh, man.
It's so true.
That's Spoonie.
It's trading so hard between us.
I know. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
We like the same guys. Keenan, Diggs, OBJ.
Like, you know, Brian always says one of the best things in fantasy football is people value players differently, so that's how you get deals done. Not me and Spoonie. All right. Well, that was my own little introduction to the man. But before we get into our real interview, welcome everybody. Session 38 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts. Today, we're going to talk about, what's a way to put this, where I'm not going to tell you which I think is the best way. Standings orders, maybe? You know, maybe. Okay, this is a show about victory points. We're just going to put it out there. We'll give you some other points of views, and we'll walk through it a bit, what it is, why we think it's a good idea. But yeah, this is a show about victory points. We also have a Trade Addicts trade to talk about, and we got some listener questions, which I think during the offseason is going to be a thing, because why the hell not? That's what we feel like doing. Don't tell us what to do. Actually, you did tell us what to do, and we listened. That's what it comes down to.
And those are some of the most fun shows, too.
So, Spoonie.
Yes.
How you doing, man?
Not too bad.
Good.
Pretty good. Feeling good. Looking good.
Well, you're always looking good. We know that. Actually, to be fair, I think I've seen you once before, and this is the first time Brian's seen you, so we didn't really always know that. We just assumed, more than anything else, that the, you know, the face matched the personality. All right. So, how long have you been playing fantasy football?
So I think it's been about like 9 years. I started when I was like 18, playing like recreational, like redraft leagues, not really like paying too much attention to it, drafting, you know, Cam Newton in the first round of all my redrafts because I was a Panthers fan. But yeah, just pretty much then. Didn't get way too serious until like about a few years ago. So
how many games did you rage quit?
Fantasy?
You're making the playoffs? And then all of a sudden you're just like, nah, that's it. I hate fantasy football.
This game's all hard. Easily. I think I've won the championship 1 year out of all those years I played. I just got lucky.
Yeah, that's the worst thing about taking fantasy football serious is how angry you legitimately get of something you have very, very little control over.
Oh, yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong. I'm tilting my face off this week about
you seem really angry this week, bud.
I'm not even angry. I'm confused. I'm hurt.
You need to get one of those like diffusers that does essential oils and like get the mood lighting going and just kind of
take a bath, you know.
Yes.
Like, light some candles.
Throw some salts in there. So you just see what happens. We might find you running down the freeway in Miami or something.
Right, bath bombs are different from bath salts, Brian. Maybe that explains a lot about your personality.
Oh man.
All right. So you've been playing Dynasty. Well, no, you've been playing Fantasy for about 9-ish years. How long have you been playing Dynasty for?
About 4 years. I think this is my fourth year now. Started, like, decided that, like, I like trading, you know, redraft and then, like, get a lot of trading going. And then once I started joining some Dynasty leagues, I think my first one was on the FF Ballers, like, forum. Love all the offseason action. That's, like, my favorite piece, to just having the year-round football action, pretty much. So,
how many leagues you in?
Right now, I think I'm in 12.
Not bad. Not bad.
I had to cut two down early on in the season, like before the season started, just because they were weird and boring leagues. So,
yeah, it's funny. Like, boring leagues at this point seem to be the worst thing there is.
Oh yeah.
Like, that's what makes me, like, I'll put up with a bad commissioner for a bit. I'll put up with shitty owners. But if a league is boring, it's just like, I don't really want to bother with this thing.
Yeah, if a league gets, like, real stagnant with, like, the people in it, it's just like, all right, so this is cool, guys. I'm just setting my lineup every week.
Yeah, and boring, then it's just like, yeah, I pay money for this. I could be paying money for a better league. All right, so, like you said, trades are the thing to do. Let's hear your best and worst trade.
All right, so I think worst recent one was this offseason, and I traded Pat Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and then Kalen Ballage and Rex Burkhead for Jimmy Garoppolo, Devonta Freeman, Marquise Goodwin, and a late second.
Ouch. Ouch.
So my season's going pretty well in that league now. And, like, this was before we were – it's a one quarterback league, but then we decided to go super flex, like, a few months after, and I'm like, now I'm just, like, kicking myself in the, you know, in the head. Like, I could be having Pat Mahomes and Tyreek Hill stack for years to come, but.
Yeah, you know you messed up. We're not going to harp on that for too long.
Yeah, so it's rough. Okay, so in another one that's a super flex, I convinced this guy who's in, like, a rebuilding. He knew he was rebuilding before the season started to, on a team that I've known going for the ship, to trade Dak and Sonny Michel for Antonio Brown. So I'd have won that pretty single-handedly. So
you did.
So, yes.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. Yeah.
Does it make you feel a little bit better about
it? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that team, I just got crushed by the sixth seed.
Yeah. Yay, so. This week. All right. So clearly you've made some good and some bad. What is your guiding principle you take with you when you're offering or evaluating trades?
So I think one of my favorite things to do is to not always, like, accept the first trade that, like, gets offered to me, unless it's, like, one of those, like, to be good, you know, type trades, like that Dak and Sony one almost. Like, basically, I try to always field either offers from other people or talk to other people that I, like, know I consistently trade with and say, like, hey, I have this really good offer for, like, Michael Thomas. I don't plan on shipping him, or, you know, I did plan on shipping him. Do you have anything to come to the table, that type of stuff, just to see. You know, if someone's, like, really interested and wants to come to the table with something cool.
Yeah, we had that talk with Josh last week where he thought it was a little taboo almost to, like, shop your players out there. Like, if you get a good offer, it doesn't mean you have to take it. Go do your homework. You don't want to be a jerk about anything, but business is the wrong word, but it's, you know, it's a business. You need to get the best you can for stuff. So don't feel bad. Don't feel shady. Don't just go get your guys. Go get the best for your guys also. So I like it. I approve.
Yeah, and I'm always, like, pretty open with, like, the other owner, like, saying, hey, like, this is a really good offer, but, you know, let me just verify, check some things, talk to some people, that type of stuff, you know. Try to keep that relationship still good too, so they're not upset or anything, but I haven't had any problems always, so far.
Yeah, that's always the best way to not seem like a jerk, is just to be completely honest with the other person.
Yeah.
All right, well, that is our little introduction, and now we're on to the news.
Here's the news.
The only thing I got listed on the sheet is Carson Wentz was diagnosed with a broken vertebrae, which, if left to heal and heals correctly, I guess, will take about 3 months of a full recovery time. How, I guess, Spoonie, you're our guest, you'll go first. What are your feelings about Carson Wentz right now? Dealing in super flex ideas, because that's the only time quarterbacks really matter.
I mean, I think he's still, like, a top 12 quarterback, right? Like, probably just, like, a down year more so, but I don't see any. A lot of people talk about, like, injury prone to stuff, and I hate that, but, like, I don't think it's anything crazy outside the normal, other than the Eagles are now going to the Super Bowl and going to win it with Nick Foles. But
well, yeah, clearly, because that's what's going to happen. It's Foles time, baby. But are you worried about him going forward? Not necessarily. I mean, like this specific, like his back. Like, is that something you think, like, isn't this what happened to Derek Carr? And I don't think he's, that's like come back up at all.
Well, I think the problem with Derek Carr is Derek Carr's never really been good.
Well, yeah, no. Derek Carr's.
I think, I mean, I don't think it's going to be a reoccurring thing, but I haven't done like too much looking into myself as far as Winston is injured, like what injuries had, but if it's, I don't know. It would just depend. Like, I probably wouldn't be looking to move him right now because if you have him, you're going to be selling low anyways because he hasn't had the best year. So if you want to move him, I would hope to either like hope for some off-season talk, that type deal, some hype to get rising about the Eagles, that depending on what moves they make. But
yeah, that's the next place I was leading. Brian, you buying or selling, and what kind of value is he looking for?
Yeah, I'd probably be buying. I mean, the back scares me a little bit. I mean, back injuries are, I know from experience, back injuries are, and mine wasn't nearly as severe as this, but back injuries can suck and can take a long time to heal and can be re-aggravated very easily. So, you know, so I'm a little bit concerned, but at the same time, I think, you know, I like the move. Shutting him down, I think they should shut him down. Like, don't play him. There's nothing to play for in Philly.
Yeah, I kind of assumed that's what happened.
Yeah, and you know, but yeah, I mean, you know, like Spoonie said, this is a buying opportunity. This is a guy that, you know, end of last season, we're talking about, you know, before the knee, we're talking about, I mean, top two, top three dynasty quarterback, right? So, you know, so he's obviously fallen a ways, both with his play and now with the injuries, or this additional injury. I mean, he had the knee last year and now the back this year. But I think, you know, now's not the time to sell him because you're losing too much potential value in a guy that should be able to bounce back, assuming he's healthy. So, you know, I think they'll get that kind of straightened out. You know, in Philly, just a down year overall for the Eagles. They just didn't play really good football this year for the most part. But yeah, I'm with Spoonie. I'm kind of holding if I own him, and I might be looking to buy him at a discount here while he's kind of down in value.
All right, that's all I had written down. Did anything else happen this week that anybody cares about?
A couple knickknacks. Aaron Jones, I think, is banged up. He had the sprained knee. He's going to miss a couple weeks, potentially.
Is he going to miss a couple of weeks? I didn't see anything about it.
I thought I saw a sprained MCL.
I saw they picked up Bibbs, free Bibbs off waivers. But yeah. I mean, not that excites me or anything. But
They actually, so it's actually possible that he will miss the remainder of the season. I mean, there's only two games left in their season, so. Yeah, it's an MCL sprain. So same injury that Melvin Gordon, OJ Howard, Evan Ingram, Joe Mixon, right? So you're looking 2 to 3 week recovery time, 2 to 4 week recovery time, and their season's over anyway. So
yeah,
I wouldn't put them back in there. Yep.
All right. Well, nice. The news is short and not full of career death. So let's move on to the main event.
The main event.
Okay, so we're going to talk about victory points. And the reason we're going to talk about victory points is, well, really, because I said, hey, Spoonie, you're going to be our guest. What do you want to talk about? And he chose victory points off the list. But really, it's because I complained on Twitter a few weeks ago about scoring almost a season high score for the league, except I scored 2.5 points less than the team I was playing against. And that sucked because that sucks to lose. I mean, I don't really know what else to say to that. But is head-to-head enough of a distinction to be all that matters in your standings? Should the top six teams, based on record, be the six teams that make it into the playoffs? And what should be into consideration in putting those six teams in order? That's kind of what I want this to really come down to. And that's where I know Spoonie and me think victory points is a good thing to come into play. Do you want to explain what victory points is, Spoon?
I mean, you can go ahead if you're already on a roll. So.
I'm on a roll, so let's just keep going. All right. Victory points is you're sort of playing two games a week, even though you're playing one head-to-head, so you still have an opponent. And then the other chance for the W is against the league average. So if you have 12 teams, the top six scoring teams get another W, another point. So what that does is make the teams that consistently score the most points rise to the top, meaning the better teams rise to the top. And it takes away the week-to-week variance of, crap, I scored the second most points. I just happened to be playing against the team that scored the most. It doesn't take it completely away because you still get that L for the week, but it evens out a bit. And that's really, to me, the direction fantasy football is heading in. It is trying to reward good teams and take away some of the luck. You'll never be able to take away all of it, but to completely go with win-loss, it's unfair is the wrong word, because what the hell is fair in a game about a game about a game? But
fair.
So, all right, let's talk about this. You have 13 weeks of the regular season. We have in the Trade Addicts Leagues five teams of the best record get into the playoffs. The sixth seed is by points four. That is the most points four out of the non-playoff teams, because clearly the rest of them have a seed already. How do you guys feel about that? Do you feel top six records should get in, or are you a fan of the wild card in?
So for most of my leagues, we do the 1 through 5 seeds based off just standings, and then the sixth seed would be the points four. And it's been pretty effective as far as like getting the right teams in, at least the league. Haven't seen a lot of complaints with the leagues and whatnot with it. But I did have one complaint this year where I think we'll probably be switching to actual victory points, just because they were like, that doesn't even make sense. You know, like, why is this one team just get that opportunity when when it's spanned over the course of the season? But then like, it's all about like luck, right? And like you said, I mean, like, this week of fantasy football is probably one of like the best examples of what luck can do to like a championship, like contending team. And I think we're trying to mitigate that whole luck aspect as much as we can over the course of the season, which like last year we did the 1 through 6 seed, just straight up standings in one of my leagues. And the guy who had the most points for basically drew like the toughest schedule. He was ahead in points for by like 200 points. His team was led by Gurley, Zeke, CMC, Latavius Murray, who was killing it because Dalvin was out. And then had, like, you know, solid wide receivers and, like, Manny, Marvin Jones and whatnot. But still missed the playoffs just because he just drew the bad card as far as matchups go throughout the course of the season. So we implemented that and made total sense.
The last thing we'll say about this, because to me this will be the way every league is. The only reason I hear about not doing this wild card is get off my lawn. It's always just been the best six teams. That's really the only reason. But hey, Spoonie, how you doing in Trade Addicts 1 this year?
Hey, so I was the sixth seed, came in, got the sixth seed because of points four, and now I'm on my way to the ship. Made a few trades to help push me that championship roster up forward, and now I'm making my way to the championship. So we'll see.
Yeah, see, and also last year in my home league, exact same thing happened. I was the sixth best record, didn't make the playoffs because some other guy had more points than I did, and he won the championship, of course, because he had freaking Gurley in that championship run, mm-hmm. which that pretty much means you won.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, the better team got in. I was salty as hell about it, but I mean, it was my league, so it was my rule, so I couldn't be too salty about it. I mean, that's just, again, it's something that is made to let to let the better team win. I would have been out the first round, just kind of the way it is.
Yeah.
All right. So now let's get to actual standings order. Now,
what other ideas are there besides victory points? How do you feel about... Oh, Brian's raising his hand.
So, first of all, I admittedly... I've never played in a league with victory points or some of the other things that we're going to get to here in a minute. But listening to the description of that, and obviously I've known what it is, but I haven't paid that much attention because I'm not in any leagues that award wins for, you know, high scoring as opposed to record. So to me, that sounds very appealing for, you know, the best teams throughout the season to make the playoffs. And I just want to make sure that that's what we're talking about here. I mean, we're just talking about the teams that are getting in, right? We're not talking about once those six teams are in, then doing something crazy in the playoffs that is not head-to-head. Because to me...
Oh, no, 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 no,
no, no, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, once you get to the playoffs, regular old luck of the draw.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, at least there's seeding involved. Where, again, we're doing everything we can to get the teams in the right order of how good they are with, again, putting that little bit of luck in because it's still just head-to-head. So the one seed and the six seed have more meaning as opposed to just, you know, a small combination of skill with a whole lot of luck. Because I don't remember which of his podcasts. I think it was on the Late Round podcast where JJ Zacharyson was... He brought up the same point I have brought up. You literally can't play defense in fantasy football. You have no control over how the team you're playing against scores. So why should that matchup mean everything? Matchups mean everything in the NFL because they play defense. They stop the other team from scoring. You know, the worst team can win on any given day because they can play up to their competition. We have no control over our guys. We have no control over anything. We set our lineups. That's what we do. And if you're setting your lineups to compare what your opponent has, you're doing something wrong. All you're doing is capping your upside. That's the one defense I've had. Well, why don't you pick up a wide receiver that the other guy's quarterback has? Because I want to be able to score more points than that. I mean, you're stopping yourself from scoring points by calling that playing defense, and that's just making your team worse as opposed to trying to make your team better to beat the other team. Man, I rambled and forgot where I started again. Sorry.
I think I'm on board with this. I think I'm on board with this victory points thing. I mean, that makes absolute sense to me. You're trying to get the best six teams throughout the season into the playoffs.
Well,
so
again,
a way to eliminate some of the variance is what you're saying. Because week to week, you're going to have... Right.
Because regardless, I'm still a fan of most points out of the playoff teams getting that sixth seed. That's a tough thing to say.
And it's not like devaluing wins, though, because like basically like the way at least I've seen it done is like a win gets you 3 points. And if you score like top of the week, you also get 3 points. Like that's... It's like... And then all the points over the course of the season is what that actually comes down to. So like... It's not devaluing the wins at all in a head-to-head matchup. It's just making sure that if you do get the luck of the draw with that schedule of playing, like if you're like, say, if you're doing divisions and your whole division is just stacked out the wazoo with you know, really good teams, and you're the third seed overall in standings, but you know, like divisions, you only get the top two people get in or whatever, then you know, like that doesn't really feel fair, right? Like, so. I think it aims at getting across that. So
I feel like divisions is a complete other episode.
That's true.
Yeah,
reseeding in there too.
Oh yeah.
No, reseeding is the thing. That happens. That's not an episode. We're done with that already. That that's just the way it is. Yeah, we had the vote before every league started of the Trade Addicts leagues if they wanted divisions. I think we settled on 2-2. 1-4 do not have divisions. 2 and 3 do. I don't know. I don't really see a purpose for them. As the only reason I like divisions is to set up a little bit of a rivalry, I guess, because you play the same guys more often. But even still, that you don't need that if you have a good chat.
Yeah,
yeah. I want to kick all their. I want to beat them all.
Yeah,
enough trash talking. You don't care what division you're in. You just want to
put them in a body bag.
We actually set up a rival system in one of my leagues where basically you choose, like they go from like the standings order of the bottom of last year or whatever, and then those guys pick who they want to play like week 13. And it's been kind of fun to see the top teams pick each other and be like, no, I want to knock you out of the playoffs or like that type of stuff. So it's a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, my home league, we have week 13 rivals.
Mm-hmm.
So you can try and kick your rival out of the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly.
It turned out this year I played for the first seed.
Nice.
I lost. But
that was the Auchan game, huh?
Yes.
That was fun. Glad to keep you around, Brian. You put me right back in my place. All right, but let's. We said we were going to bring up some other options. All play record. What all play record is exactly what it sounds like. What would your record be if every week you played every team? And this is okay. We play every league on my fantasyleague.com. And if you ask me, that's where you should be playing if you're playing Dynasty.
Preach.
Amen.
Yeah. There's a module called Power Rankings under the standings section where it will show you all play records. It's not something you have to actually figure out on your own. And victory points is a setting. So this is, again, I know a lot of this can seem daunting or like it's a lot of work on your commissioner, but no, it will do it for you. This is not something you have to do on your own. Because if anything, I have to do on my own. I don't want to have to do things. I run too many leagues. So, and that power ranking, it'll show you the all play record. And you can actually also work that into your standings order or use that as maybe a sixth seed differentiation on who gets in that. Have either of you played in a league that uses all play in any way, or how do you feel about the idea of it?
I think it's an interesting idea. I've never played in any of it. I just don't know how it would work. I would have to see like an example. I don't know. It's hard for me to conceptualize like thinking about how that would work.
I mean, it's a little bit of, it's kind of very similar to victory points where it's still week to week. How many teams would you beat?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I see which. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess it helps.
It's yeah, but it also accounts for boom weeks.
Right.
You know, it's not just getting that one. It's that if you have a week of scoring 80 points, your all play is going to get affected by it.
Mm-hmm.
So one bad week really still comes into play big time, which is why I'm still a little bit more of a fan of a victory point as opposed to the all play record. Because, I mean, let's face it, I'm in 23 leagues. You're in, I think you said, like 12. Brian, you're probably in like 5, which is a lot for you.
I'm not going to announce on the air in case my wife happens to
come
listen
on. Your wife doesn't. My wife doesn't listen to this show. Your wife doesn't listen to this show. My wife's upstairs with earplugs in just in case she hears me talking.
I'm in about the same as you, Russ, I think.
Really?
Yeah. I think Dynasty Leagues on my fantasy league, I'm in 18 this year. And nice. Then I have like home leagues and work leagues and stuff like that. So,
right. So, like, even in one of my freaking playoff teams, I left Austin Eckler in. And I could have swore I changed my lineup. But again, I'm 23 lineups. Crap happens. And to have that completely screw up an all play record would just be kind of crushing. So that's why I'm a fan of the 1 point of victory points as opposed to what could turn into an 0-11 all play record. So while again, it's better than nothing, I'm still a fan of victory points over all play record. Has anyone else played in any other interesting leagues that has done anything to differentiate either standings or playoff entry? Anything?
I haven't played in different. No. I know our boy Rocky's in a, I saw him on Twitter talking about potential points today. I don't know how.
Well, that's we'll get like into potential points when we start talking about draft pick order.
Yeah. Very strong opinions on that, but.
Yeah, that's another show. I'm in a couple of leagues that do draft picks by potential points, and I'm not thrilled by it. let's just say clearly I should have had the 101. Yeah, I'm about to end. I'm joining a John Bosch league this year, so I will definitely have some interesting stories for this episode next year. And he replied to this conversation with one of the greatest things I've ever seen, where it's like best record gets in, then it's most points, then most all play gets in, then it's the next most points, and then it's like, you know, whoever has the third hottest sister gets in. It's like really weird. But it was awesome looking.
Kind of cool, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm joining one of his leagues, so I hope to see how that goes. If not, I'm totally just going to steal it and find a bunch of guys to go in on a league where it's going to be like a why the hell not, let's try this stuff league.
Yeah.
So awesome. All right, well, if there's nothing else we could think of, I probably should have done more research on this and actually like look through MFL settings or anything, but I did not do that because I'm still tired from the amount of work I did looking up all the bold takes and hot take stuff. So too bad. So we're going to move on to our one Trade Addicts trade.
Trade Addicts trades.
Well, trade, I guess. This is... Okay, this week, we had only Trade Addicts 4 trades. It's a weird world we live in.
There were a couple, too.
Yeah, there was two, but we're only going to talk about one because this one was a bit of a spark.
Doozy.
Yeah. All right. So Trade Addicts leagues, 12 teams, Superflex, PPR, tight end premium, and all but Trade Addicts 1, which I think we're going to vote on again in the offseason, Spoonie. A little bit of points for the return yardage. all right. The trade was Aaron Rodgers and Melvin Gordon for Josh Allen, Zay Jones, and I looked this up. The 106 is set, and at best, the 108. So the dude's still in the playoffs, but he has the higher seed. So even if he loses this week, he won't be the lower pick. So that is the 108 or later. So, I mean, oh yeah, Twitter had a very nice 69% on the Aaron Rodgers side. And a very not nice 31% on the Josh Allen side. So, Spoonie, Mr. Guestman, how do you feel about this one?
I think this is pretty easily the Aaron Rodgers side for me. I don't even know if I would trade one of those other for, honestly, like any of the other side. I mean, I don't know if that's just valuing like those players that high, but I mean, they're like either, I mean, Melvin Gordon's still a top, like 15 dynasty asset, pretty much.
I think it's a running back. I was holding up the number 5.
Oh yeah. I mean, like I'm just talking about just like overall, but I mean, I haven't seen like a Superflex ADP in a while, but Aaron Rodgers, I mean, he's still Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he's a top 12 quarterback like this year. He's still doing Aaron Rodgers things, but I guess you can make the argument, you know, Josh Allen, he's been like QB1 for like the past like 4 weeks, but due to his like rushing floor that he has, but I don't know. The value just doesn't make sense to me. And I'm a big value guy, at least for myself, but.
All right. So Brian actually said something extremely similar to what you said, and it did not go well on Twitter.
Yeah, it didn't. And you know, I feel the same way. I mean, I'm a value guy who, you know, You can't just value players by what they've done on the field in the last X number of games. I mean, you can do that to an extent if you're competing, you know, but if you're rebuilding, you know, you got to get the value out of the players that you're talking about positionally two top five assets, top five running back and a top five quarterback, even with how terrible, quote, in quotation, I'm doing air quotes, Aaron Rodgers has played this year. He's still being drafted in December ADP in startups as the quarterback 5. You know, I mean, Josh Allen, I think, is like down in the late teens, maybe.
Yeah.
So, you know, and while he's produced for some people by running the football the last 3-4 weeks of the season so far,
you know, he's thrown for 90 some yards a game, like 90 yards or 140 yards and a touchdown and two picks. Like, I just don't, you know, now I also have said on Twitter that Josh Allen is a winner, and I think he's going to win some games in Buffalo, and I think he's going to have a longer NFL career than a lot of fantasy experts or analysts or whatever we're calling ourselves these days think. You know, I think he can be a starting quarterback in the league, especially in a place like Buffalo. That's like a blue collar. They don't give a crap about stats. They'll win games 9-6, and that'll make them happy as hell. So, you know, so I mean, but from a fantasy perspective, I mean, all that stuff I just said is great, but from a fantasy perspective, none of it matters, really. You know, he's got to put fantasy points up, and he's really not doing that except by rushing the ball. And, you know, I just can't imagine that that will continue at the same pace it's been going over the last four games. You know, and then you look at some of the other assets in this deal. I like first round picks. Everybody does, especially come April, right? You know, you see where guys are going to end up. Everybody gets rookie fever, even if you claim you don't. We all get it. Even in weak class years, you know, so firsts are nice. You know, and then these are both mid first, so you're not getting the elite of the elite out of the class, right? And then Zay Jones, I mean, again, same type of thing. And you know, just talked about Josh Allen throwing for 99 to 140 yards. Zay Jones isn't even a wide receiver. I'm gonna forget the dude's name. Is it Thomas?
Robert Foster is that what you're
Foster? Foster, yes, Robert Foster. So that kid. Now, again, only one game or two games or whatever it's been. But, you know, is Zay Jones a wide receiver one in Buffalo? Is there really a wide receiver one in Buffalo?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing, right? Is like, do we really think that like the wide receiver one, like in air quotes, is in Buffalo? No, I mean, they're probably going to draft somebody to get in there so Josh Allen can grow with that person. And I mean, with like the 106 and the 108, like if you keep those, if you don't, like if you trade those picks, like I get it, that makes sense. But if you keep those picks, like what do you hoping to get that matches the value of like a Melvin Gordon? And I'm not a Melvin Gordon guy at all, but like you're hoping, like I think 108 1 year, like 2 years ago, was like Samaje Perine. Like, how's that turned out for you? You know, like so.
Yeah, I'm on the same page. I don't think the value is really close here. Now, could this work out? Yeah, it could. I mean, we've seen crazy stuff happen in leagues, right? And with players that we thought were going to be elite assets that, you know, the very next year that we thought they were going to be elite asset, they were terrible and they were out of the league in 2 years. So, I mean, those types of things happen, you know, and vice versa. Guys come out of nowhere and end up being elite talents. But I don't know. I mean, these are two guys that have produced for multiple years. I mean, in the case of Aaron Rodgers, we're talking a decade. Right. And yeah, he's getting up there in age, but he also is a guy that takes care of his body like the Tom Brady's. And, you know, I think he can play into his late 30s and maybe even early 40s if he wants to. They finally got McCarthy out of there, you know, so I think, you know, if they do right by Aaron Jones here and give him the football when he's healthy, you know, I think that'll help Rodgers overall too. But you know, I just, again, it's all about the value here. I don't think the value is very close at all. And it could work out for the other side here, the Allen side. I just don't see it.
All right, we'll call that a clean sweep and move on. All right. So let's get to our listener questions.
Listener questions. Listener questions.
Let's say, don't get lazy on me. What the hell was that? It's not that late. Come on. All right. So first one. At FF underscore Wonder Kid, our man Eitan, who is your number one trade away this offseason, and what would you hope to get for him? All right. If I still have Derrick Henry on any of my teams, and I can get early second for him, I'm even willing to take that, because you know he's finishing this season strong and is going to end up being like a fifth round startup pick next year. I don't want that on my team because he's still going to have the first 12 games of next year being trash, and it's going to make me sad all over again.
But they're opening up the run game. They're giving him the rock.
Yeah, and that'll be great for the 3 minutes they're doing it, and then they forget to do it again because I'm pretty sure he was doing well at the end of last year. So if I can get anything with the number one in front of it, oh, man, I may either break my phone or my thumb hitting accept. How about either of you guys? You got anybody that comes to mind?
So for me, I think I have a ton of Michael Thomas, and I'm going to be shopping him, I think, as much as I can to see if I can get, like, if I can get Adams plus for Michael Thomas, I'm doing that no matter what the plus is. If it's like a second or anything like that, I'd rather have Adams over Michael Thomas pretty much any day of the week.
So you're worried about this stretch of games right now where he's catching one ball for 5 yards?
I'm not necessarily worried about the stretch of games. It's just the consistency. Like Michael Thomas, I mean, he has this year, he has five like wide receiver three and wide receiver three plus finishes. Whereas like Adams only has one over that time frame, but Adams is being drafted like around later and tied to Aaron Rodgers that we know Rodgers is going to play for X amount of more years. Whereas, you know, if Breeze retires in 2 years, then I mean, what do we know about that? You know, we know that Adams can do it with Brett Hundley. He was like wide receiver 12 like last year with Brett Hundley. So I mean, I don't know if I can get something like that for Michael Thomas, I'm doing that like easily. I did the same thing pretty much with Julio last year, where I got Adams plus for Julio, and I'm okay with doing that same type of trade. So
I both agree and disagree with that statement. Because I still love Michael Thomas, but I do love me some Davante Adams. So I'm just going to let it go. Brian, anybody?
Yeah. So my obvious one is Rob Gronkowski. I just, you know, if he's got any value left in your leagues, you know, any elite value to the player that he has been in the past, I think, you know, I think his time is short in the league, just with the injuries. He doesn't look the same. Even last week when he had a big week, he had over 100 yards receiving and caught the touchdown against Miami. You know, he just doesn't look like Gronk. You know,
lazy tacklers on my team.
Yeah. Well, I don't play ADP or IDP, so, you know. But yeah, no, Gronk, you know, he just doesn't look like the same guy. So I'm selling him. But the more controversial one that I'll go here, and I'm not saying I'm trying to get rid of him per se, but I would look to capitalize on Adam Thielen's value right now. I mean, this is a guy that is a top 20 dynasty asset right now at the age of 28. He'll be 29, I believe, coming into the season next year. Fantastic player. Absolutely fantastic player. Unbelievable hands. You know, but a couple things about Thielen. One, you know, some of the injuries, he's a tough guy, plays through them, but, you know, he's had the back issues and some other nagging things that pop up here and there. And then the other thing and the bigger concern for me is this offense, they're going to run the football. I mean, I think you've seen over the last couple of weeks when Dalvin Cook is healthy, they are going to feed him the football. So for me, you know, I think again, it's not that I don't like Thielen. I like him. I think he's a great player. You know, I think he has that elite upside when he's getting fed the football, like we saw, you know, in the first half of this season. He's incredible. But it's where his value is right now versus where his value is going to go eventually. And I think I'd rather get out on him a year early than a year too late.
I think that's fair. And I saw someone talk, I think it was last offseason, talk about like the contract situation with him is how he's being paid such little money. So there, I don't know if he would actually do this, but if he ever held out for more money, I mean, that might shift the team to like maybe make another move in another area. Cause I know they either have to pay like a few defensive like pieces, whatnot. And they just paid Diggs a crap ton of money. So, I definitely see like what you're talking about as well. So.
All right. Now here's a good one. Our boy @DHH_Mandrew. Compare your worst trades from the year to a movie. Now, I got this one, and it came to me right away, and that makes me sad. When I was making my playoff push in one of my teams, the first trade I did, I traded away... Well, not the bigger trade doesn't matter, because I got Zach Ertz, which until this week was a great thing. But I ended up trading away Aaron Jones 2 weeks before Mike McCarthy realized that he was an actual good running back and started giving him the ball 20 times a game. So there you go. I just threw away a great dynasty running back. And then 2 weeks later, I trade away Josh Adams just in time to hear Doug Peterson say, we're going to start using him as a feature back. So I'm going to title my two trading away of future dynasty darling running backs as Dumb and Dumber.
Nice.
Yeah, that's how I feel about me right now. I mean, I'm still in that league. It's a 2 week championship, and this is week one where I'm probably going to be down by like 30. But if my team can play like normal next week, I think I got a chance. So I'm not too freaked out about it. But yeah, no, those trades made me not very happy. And they were both to the same guy, which makes me more annoyed. Anybody else able to come up with something for this?
So I was thinking the first thing that came to mind for me was there's a scene in The Other Guys where Will Ferrell's driving his Prius with Mark Wahlberg in the car. And he's like, you know, do you feel that? And Will Ferrell stomps his foot on the gas and like yells America and then drives straight to this crime scene. And it's like he claims he blackout. And it's like this trade that I made, I just wanted to trade. I was making a push and then I was like, didn't even think about like what the actual value was. And I traded Cooper Kupp in a second for Calvin Ridley. And I was like, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, why did I make
it? Just yell America?
I know. I'm like, did I just black out? Like, what happened?
Brian?
Okay, so this one for me is actually a trade that you and I made, Outhouse, in Trade Addicts 3. And for me, this is not about value, because the value in the trade is good value. I gave up Blake Bortles, Christian McCaffrey, and a second round pick for Carson Wentz, Aaron Jones, and a third. I still think that's a good trade. I think it's a fair trade. Yeah. So it's not about the value for me. But boy, would I love to own Christian McCaffrey in that league still. You know, my one of my bold predictions this year was that McCaffrey was going to have 1,700 total all-purpose yards and double-digit touchdowns, and he's wrecking it. So I wish I owned him. So as far as the movie goes, so first of all, I just want to put this out there because, you know, we went on Dynasty Game Night the other night and embarrassed ourselves essentially with the movie stuff and coming up with those the name just game.
Man thing. Has never seen Elf. Spoiler alert, because they haven't released it yet.
Well, and in all fairness, I mean, I have seen Elf. I like that movie. I couldn't tell you two lines out of that movie, though. I'm not a person that like watches movies and then can recite them back. I mean, I can recite Eminem songs and like music, country music and goofy stuff that nobody cares about.
First so two things to reach for,
you know, well. Hey, I'll be me, man.
Hey, you be you.
But anyway, but the one thing that I do watch and a lot of the movies that I do watch, I was talking to you guys when I got on tonight, before we came on the air, I was watching Happy Feet. I have a daughter that's going to be two here. And, so we watch a lot of Disney movies and we watch a lot of Christmas movies now that we're in the season, the holiday season. And, so in The Grinch, the Jim Carrey one, there is a, you know, Faith Hill has this, "Where are you, Christmas? Why can't I find you?" And that's what came to mind for me.
Where are you,
Christian? Why can't I find you? Because I traded you away.
That's good.
It's epic. If I actually sang it, you guys would be really impressed. Because I also have a good voice, but we're not. I'm not putting that out there.
Challenge.
Maybe that can be some bonus content sometime.
There you go. We're going to start a Patreon just to hear Brian sing.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, moving on. At DHH_Tyler Gunthner, What are you doing with Mike Williams? Now, here's the thing about this. The day, I believe it was the day of the Chargers game. What was that, Thursday? I traded Tyler Mike Williams. So I'm not sure if this is a real question or if he's just making fun of me. But we're going to pretend it's real so I don't feel as bad about it. What are you doing with Mike Williams right now?
I think he's a buy. Honestly, like, it's hard to, like, tell, right? Like, it's hard with Keenan Allen being there and being, like, a consistent target that Phillip Rivers is going to be fed. And we don't know what the offense is going to look like when Hunter Henry comes back. Because, I mean, he's not there, and they just have literally not used the tight end. So I think he's, like, the red zone guy right now pretty much for them. But honestly, me, I have no idea.
I think that is a fantastic point. A lot of people kind of forgetting about Hunter Henry there and how focal the tight end position is in that offense, or at least has been over the last decade with Phillip Rivers. I mean, Antonio Gates is still producing and he's like 57. So, you know, I think Hunter Henry is going to step right back into that offense and be that red zone target. Now, the good news is Ty Williams is probably not going to be there, which means Mike Williams will be an every down player for the most part on the other side of the field from Keenan Allen. But, you know, I'm with you, Spoonie. I think, you know, there's a lot of question marks. I guess for me, it would be, what can you get for him? Because yeah. I would sell if I thought I was getting, you know, if I was getting that first round value. Now, again, he probably went 106 in rookie
seven.
Draft.
Yeah, 107. Yeah.
So, you know, if I was getting a higher first in this class, would I take a chance on one of those other big wide receivers? Maybe. But it would take an earlier first. I don't think I would do it for a mid-round first, because essentially that's what you have in Williams, is a guy that so far in his career has produced, you know, in that range. So, it would just depend on, I mean, I definitely think I would be shopping him right now. See if anybody bites
that last game.
Yeah, exactly. See if anybody bites on that performance, because it was huge. I mean, yeah, huge.
Another reason there shouldn't be trade deadlines, so you can capitalize on. See, it's funny. Anytime we're this is a again another show, but I'm going to do it anyway. People, whenever you talk about trade deadlines, everyone's afraid of people with championships. Whenever I talk about trade deadlines, it's always about bad teams. You know, if I'm a bad team, like the team I traded away Mike Williams, I took over literally that week, that day maybe, and it was trash. And I'm sitting here with sellable assets that have current value to people competing. So I was able to sell Mike Williams. All right, I wish I sold him for more, but, you know, knowing he was going to catch two touchdowns, and then run for a touchdown, because of course Mike Williams is going to run for a touchdown the day I sell him. So yeah, that's why. Okay, yeah, I don't like trade deadlines, but yeah, Mike Williams is. I don't know if I'm buying him, because especially right now his value is a little too high. But he's either a hold or a sell. If I can get an early first where someone you think will fall to a better situation, because I think. I mean, Rivers is still going to play for a while. I don't think he's the reason to feel worried about Mike Williams. It's just there's a lot of mouths to feed there. And Hunter Henry is going to be one of them. And he's going to take some of those red zone targets away. And I know, I mean, we're going to be talking about Tyrell Williams like every single show for the rest of the offseason, just because, like,
I can't wait to see where he goes.
What?
I can't wait to see where he goes. It's going to be
Seattle. Okay, so that's how we feel about Mike Williams. At DFF underscore madman, Jeremy from Trades HQ says, beer, then liquor? Now, again, this also might be in reference to me, where I, on Friday, took a picture of myself drinking a beer and then was talking to him while drinking vodka. So, yes, the saying is beer, then liquor, never been sicker. But I survived that night without getting sick. Just going to put it out there. How is your feeling about switching between beer and hard alcohol?
I think for me, it's like once I start on hard, then I'm pretty much staying on hard liquor. Like my favorite, this is gross, my favorite drink is a tequila Red Bull. And once I start drinking those, I'm going to stick to that. But see, like...
Yeah. Like to me, that's like the right progression. It's like, I don't know how you go from mixed drinks and hard alcohol to beer. To me, it's like the natural escalation is beer to alcohol. Yeah. Do you drink, Brian, besides the random beer on pod night?
Yes. Me and my boy Chris Allen drink the IPAs.
Oh, love beer.
So do I, man. Oh, it's so good.
I'm a big sour beer.
Porter or stout, but no IPAs.
I love IPAs. Yeah, no. So the only time in my life where I have thrown up from drinking alcohol was a beer before liquor situation where I was out just having some beers with a couple of my real good buddies, and one of our high school classmates came in, and it was like 7 years after high school, and we, you know, hadn't seen him in a while, and he's ordering shots for everybody in the bar. So about four of those later, my world was spinning pretty good, and I have a really funny story that I'm not going to tell right here, right now, but that involves me.
No, I swear I hit stop recording.
emptying my stomach. Only time in my life, but that saying is 100% true for me.
So to save face for Brian, we'll move on. At Leroy Knievel, who is your go-to driver in Mario Kart 64, and what is your favorite childhood video game? Donkey Kong was my go-to. Donkey Kong is always my go-to. He's my boy.
I think mine was Toad. I always thought because he was smaller, he would be faster.
And he does let you know that he's the best when he wins.
And that is very true.
I was a Yoshi guy because, I mean, he was the fastest. Adorable. Yeah. So
I get it. Childhood video games. What system did you even grow up with, Spoonie?
So I was a big PlayStation guy. Played a lot of like Final Fantasy games, Kingdom Hearts. That's like Final Fantasy is where my like the Spoonie comes from. But and then like I've just branched off into like literally all. I'm a huge nerd. But yeah, like I think Kingdom Hearts would probably be my favorite childhood video game. The third one's coming out soon, so I'm excited.
You're so young. Kingdom Hearts being your childhood video game.
Yeah.
Brian, what did you play growing up?
I was on the NES. Mm-hmm. And my two favorite games were Excitebike and Super C, baby. And when you got that spread gun, buddy, look out.
Contra, baby, yeah. For the original Konami code. I have to go even a little older, my Atari 2600, Joust. I could spend hours playing Joust, even though the board literally didn't move. You just flew on your little flying ostrich thing and jumped on top of people. Like, just Atari to me is like the wonderfulness of simplicity that just you lose hours playing. I wish I have it. It just doesn't still work. So sad. So yeah, I'm going to go Atari is my original go-to happy place of games. But my favorite Mario game, because my son is huge into Mario right now, is actually Super Mario World on SNES. Hot take, Super Mario 3 is overrated. You guys aren't talking, so we'll move on.
I was never a big like Mario guy, so it's always like hard for me to like talk Mario.
Well, it was like 12 years before you were born, so I mean, it doesn't really matter, I guess.
How old do you think I am?
Well, clearly you're about 27.
Younger than us.
Oh wow, that was like dead on. Yeah, I'm 27. Good.
Well, you said 9, and you were. Yeah.
I'm not good.
I listen when you talk.
Geology was like my worst subject in the whole world.
Geology.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. At Ross Verba, are the Eagles a team snakebit by injury, or is it really the absence of Frank Reich? Both?
That'd be my cop-out answer.
I mean, it's the truth. I mean, yeah. They're secondary. I mean, I think Brian's starting for them next week at this point.
And I mean, we've seen what...
I would never wear that uniform.
You'd look good in green, buddy.
I look good in everything. Ooh. But I'm from the western part of the state, so.
All right.
I mean, if they paid me enough, I'd do it.
We have learned that today. Brian said he would pretty much do anything for money. Yeah, I think injury plays part of it. I don't know if it's missing Frank Reich that's making their offense look so crappy, but it looks so crappy.
I think it is. Look at what happened in Indianapolis when the guy arrived.
Exactly, yeah.
I absolutely think that's a huge part of it. in Philly.
All right. Okay. So, we will legitimately say a little bit of both. All right. So, at SR Stull Jr., our boy Chef Steve from Trade Chef Addicts Steve. 1. His question is, how much wood? Now, Brian's just shaking his head. Yeah. So we're going to skip over him. And we're going to pretend this is a question about Robert Woods, because I'm afraid to know where else this question is going. So I'm going to say all the Robert Woods.
Yeah. I mean, Robert Woods is good, definitely. I think I'd rather have Cooper Kupp there, but.
All right. We were having an argument in the Trade Addicts 3 chat. What do you think Robert Woods's value in draft picks is right now? I mean, it's the 10 something, but like what, like the what? 10 what?
Mid first?
Yeah, I'd say 6, 5, 6.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I mean, to me, he's around that first running back value. To me, I think I still want all the other wide receivers out there. We had someone arguing that he was pretty much just worth the 10 because of the points he was putting up in the offense season and because he's still relatively young.
Yeah, but like Cooper Kupp's out. Like, that's not going to last forever.
Yeah, to me, we threw a lot of reasonings out there, and to me, it just made me feel even more strongly that, yeah, I think scoring points is awesome. A lot has to come into play to get dynasty value up also. I mean, like you said before with Davante Adams, it's going to take years to wash away the stink of his third year. That's just the reality of it.
Yeah.
Or his second year, I think it was, where he was like literally historically bad. And then his third year came and he started doing well. And then he was awesome. Then he was awesomer with Brent Hundley. And now he's the awesomest, but he's still like the wide receiver 6.
Oh, wide receiver 3.
For you or?
For me, at least for me. I go Nuke, OBJ, and then Adams.
Nuke.
I always call it. Yeah, I know it's Nuke, but
you just the way. It wrong.
Just I know. You know I know. I don't read good, okay?
What is this, a school for ants? All right. Oh, speaking of Trade Addicts 3, FF Trader Joe wants to know, why is Trade Addicts 3 your favorite league ever?
Okay, I'll go first.
Go.
If you're listening to this, if you're listening to this and you're from Pittsburgh, you've seen the the commercials that or the not the commercials, but the shows that they do that, you know, they always it's like a local thing on, I don't even know what station it's on, but they do like what makes Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh, right? And every single person answers it the exact same way. I'm going to do it in the Yinzer talk because that's what I do. It's the people. All right. It's the people. Those dudes are awesome. That assembly of guys, it's like, if you take the best, like, three guys in four of your leagues and put them in one league together, like the most active, the most knowledgeable, pretty good shit talkers, but really good guys, like guys that you would legitimately hang out with, you know, if you knew them beyond the internet, the interwebs, what do you kids call it these days? No. Yeah, no, it's the guys. I mean, those guys are awesome in there. They're sarcastic as hell, which that's my personality, despite the fact that I don't show that necessarily on the show.
Despite being the nicest person ever.
Yeah,
you're very sarcastic.
I am sarcastic, yeah, for sure. Now, I always do follow it up, and Russ, you get on me all the time about this. Like, I know you're joking. You don't have to say I'm joking. But yeah, no, they're very sarcastic, which is funny. It leads to some absolutely hysterical conversations that have absolutely nothing to do with football, which is awesome too. And it's competitive as hell too. I mean, when you see the trades that go down in this league, it's not, you know, I mean, baby trades are important, and we talk about that on the show. But these deals that go down in Trade Addicts, all the Trade Addicts leagues, really. And for me, especially in 3. Now, I'm not in 1, Spoony, so I don't have the you know, I can't educate or I can't speak. I can't speak either. Apparently, I can't be an educated speaker on that subject and on that league. But you know, Trade Addicts 2, Trade Addicts 3, Trade Addicts 4 now is coming on. Now they that was a slow start, but they've really picked up over the last couple of months, which is awesome. But yeah, I mean the deals that go down in these leagues and Trade Addicts 3 are some of the biggest. It's just insane. I mean it's 3 and 4 elite assets, top 25 assets for 4 other top 25 assets. Or I mean it's just insane. And there's not a day that goes by that I don't talk to those guys in the group chat. It's an awesome league.
Yeah. I'll give the diplomatic answer of I love all my children equally. So I love all the Trade Addicts leagues. And well, I mean, I'm not in 4, but I still love you guys. You're my wonderful stepchildren. But yeah, the chat in 3 is just fantastic.
Yeah. It seems like there's always some big deal going down there. At least, yeah. Looking at the Twitter polls that arise, I'm always like, how in the world are these pieces always moving?
And it's usually the same guys. We have, you know, in all of the Trade Addicts leagues, we have a league banner, you know, that says the Trade Addicts league number, and then there's 2 players up top. In Trade Addicts 3, it's Christian McCaffrey and Leonard Fournette, because in the startup and 1 or 2 weeks afterwards, those two guys moved about 3 times. And still, even afterwards, you know, Brian dealt McCaffrey to me. I dealt him to someone else, and he got traded to Fugazi for his playoff run for Melvin Gordon. Like, it's the same guys also that happened to just get taught like the Village Bicycle. Everybody's had a ride.
Yep.
So yes, that league is a ton of fun, and it helps that there's a bunch of awesome guys. And that all goes back to, if you don't have a league chat for your league, you are doing it such a disservice.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So, Spoonie, why is Trade Addicts 3 your favorite league?
Well, as you know, as a part that I'm not of it, it's been a blast just, you know, from the outside looking in, all of the beautiful people that come together and make these awesome trades and build these relationships.
All right, you can stop making shit up now.
So. Okay.
I'm surprised you talked for as long as you did.
I was trying to, you know, channel.
That was good. All right, so we have a flurry of questions from @fantasy_MN, Neil from Trade Addicts 2. First, Brian, what is the running back situation in Pittsburgh going forward? Controversy, ?
Controversy for fantasy owners, yes. Controversy for a fan of the Pittsburgh Steelers? No, I love this stuff. I mean, I for a couple reasons. First of all, I'm salty as hell about Le'Veon Bell. Even if I try to be objective about it, it hurts. You know, it hurts when you offer a guy that much money and he doesn't stay. And I don't blame him for not doing what he's got to do. That's fine, whatever. But there's now 2 dudes on that roster that, when they've been called upon this season in that offense with Le'Veon Bell not there, they have produced like Le'Veon Bell has produced in the past. You know, now we could sit here all day and argue, well, do they affect the passing game the same way in terms of taking, you know, game planning off of Brown and Juju and those guys? I mean, that may be a valid point. I don't know, but I both of these guys, you know, Connor and now Samuels, I mean, the Steelers have done a really nice job. So there's a lot of things about the Steelers in the front office and the coaching there that upset me, especially the coaching. And I've been a longtime Tomlin guy, but he's a little bit of a bad game manager sometimes. Like, he doesn't pay attention as much to the clock. He challenges the stupidest stuff. I don't think he's won a challenge in 3 years, and he's thrown the flag like, probably, you know, 17 weeks, 2 challenges a week. He's probably thrown 30 flags this season, and he's not won like one. I literally don't think he won a challenge this year. I should look his that
time
up.
Time management's always been a little iffy to me.
Yes, his time management, and just, you know, the fact that I saw a stat, and I'm not going to remember exactly what it was, but like, when a team is favored by so many points in a game, when they're favored by more than 9 points or something like that, they're like 60-20 or something in the last however long. And Tomlin has 11 of those losses. So, you know, he doesn't always get them ready to play for the teams they should beat easily. You know, in the past, not anymore, but in the past, the Cleveland Browns. Now, they luckily always somehow find a way against Cleveland. But the Raiders, they can't beat the Raiders. The Raiders are terrible, and they can't beat the Raiders. They haven't beat them. Ben Roethlisberger's 0-4 in his career against them. You know, and it's just, I don't know. I mean, they play down the competition. They should have handled the Broncos in Denver easily. Case Keenum, are you serious? I mean, they should have dominated. They just beat Tom Brady. They just held Tom Brady to 10 points, but Case Keenum ripped them up. So, you know, but anyways, that was a very long tangent. The point of all of this is they've done a really nice job of drafting running backs to fit into their system. Connor fits in the system well. He can catch passes. He's a patient runner. He's a violent runner. You know, Samuels looks like he can be the same type of player. He catches the ball out of the backfield very well. He's pretty dangerous last night in the passing game. And they ran that counter toss play several times. And he was, you know, he was seeing, he's good vision. I mean, he was seeing the holes and hitting them. And, you know, so yes, there's a little bit of controversy in the backfield from a fantasy perspective. I think both of those, I think Connor will start. Connor will be the starter when he's healthy. But they're going to mix Samuels in too. They like the kid. You know, and I think he's going to take a little bit of work away from James Connor. I don't think they're going to ride Connor quite as hard as I thought they would have before seeing Samuels over the last couple of weeks. So, but it's good to have, I mean, injuries, you know, you're seeing it right now. It's good to have multiple players in the position that can, you know, that can produce. So,
all right. So I couldn't hold out anymore and I turned the game on.
It's pretty ugly.
I am in my home league. I am down by 0.1.
Ooh.
Yeah. And Kamara is in the game with 2.5 minutes left and it's 4th and inches. So hopefully they just run it up the middle and then the game just ends right there, because I think that's how it would happen, right?
I think that's how football works.
Yeah, right? Okay, so we're going to skip to this one last question. And I love that this one got Brian a little fired up. This is also that's a couple of yards. That's like 3 yards. Game over, guys, everybody. Just stop watching. Turn it off. MFL, shut it down. All right. Who is your dynasty startup 101 not named Sake 101?
And I can't even answer the question. So who's the 102?
Okay, let's pretend that is the what's okay, yeah. What's your 102, Brian? How about that? Just because, you know, we still want to answer the question because we had a nice, wonderful listener answer us, ask a question. Ask us a question, and you shouldn't be a rude jerk and not answer it.
Well, is it a super flex? Because then Saquon's not the 101.
Oh, spoon.
Gotta go the GOAT, Patty Mahomes.
No. I still don't know. Like, all right. Like, the dude's clearly for real. I get it. I still don't know if I could do that 101. I mean, to me, that's I'm going to say that's a little bit like taking Saquon Barkley 101. I want to see it a little bit.
Oh, previously, not currently. Yeah,
correct. Like, I want to see it for more than 12 games, you know? Like, all right, I'm at the point where I'm taking Gurley 101. I don't know if I could fight the wide receiver thing anymore. Like, getting Todd Gurley seems to be enough to be, I know it's shorter career span. What's the words I'm looking for?
That works.
But like, let's be honest. How long are these guys staying on our rosters? I mean, we play in leagues called Trade Addicts. They're not going to stay in our leagues for very long. If they're good for 2-3 years, that's more than enough for me. And I don't know if the production in 3 years from now of Todd Gurley and of DeAndre Hopkins is going to fluctuate that much. So I think I am willing to spend that elite asset if I can't trade down, because I don't want to ever have to draft 101 if I don't have to. I think I would take Todd Gurley.
I think if even I'm not in Superflex, Saquon, I'm taking. And a 1QB, if I'm not taking Saquon, then I'm taking Gurley. You just have to. I don't know. It's hard to like argue against it at this point. Like I don't.
Yeah, like I really have to like. This is like a moment of personal growth for me. By the way, like I've been team wide receiver for as long as.
Oh I can yeah, remember. I mean I've drafted like OBJ was my 1-on-1 for like years now.
Hashtag always Odell like flew off silently into the night this season. Yeah. All right, Brian, who's your 102, Brian? Because we have to change everything for you in this podcast.
it's probably Gurley. Probably.
Even in Superflex? We'll just yeah. put it out there.
I think quarterbacks for and I know there are varying degrees of you know different people have different philosophies in Superflex leagues, but I just you know I don't know. I the difference between a guy like Mahomes and a guy like Andrew Luck. I don't know. I just can't do it. I can't take a quarterback. I took a quarterback at the 104 in my very first Superflex startup that I was ever in, and I drafted Russell Wilson. That was like the Andrew Luck, Russell Wilson year.
One that you screwed up right away.
And it wrecked. It absolutely wrecked. Now, I also traded for Andrew Luck, like, in the second round of that startup. So I depleted some assets that way. But it just killed my team. I mean, I was starting Mohamed Sanu as my wide receiver one. So, you know, I mean, that tells you how desperate it was. So, I just, because of that, I guess I'm a little bit biased. I won't take a quarterback quite that high. I think Mahomes is worthy of going in the early part of the first round in Superflex startups. I absolutely do. I mean, the kid's unreal. But I just personally probably wouldn't do it. So, but I think Gurley's the pick if it's not Saquon, at least for me.
All right. Well, I'm going to say that's the end of our show sheet. So that's the end of our show. And now I'm going to be way too distracted watching the last minute and a half of minute 55 of this game and just continue to tilt my face clean off of my skull. So, Spoonie.
Do you want me to break the internet before we go?
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh. I mean, do it.
So I've been for the last 15 minutes kind of looking at some of this receiver stuff. Okay. And I've been very open about my mistake in the way that I felt about Devontae Adams. I don't know. You know, Spoonie said wide receiver 3.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Now remember who this is saying this to, right? So I'm not sure. I have a hard time finding 3 guys I'd take over him at the position.
Thank you.
I mean, there's a debate. There's a debate to be had with several of these guys. You know, Thomas, Hopkins, OBJ, Tyreek. I don't think I'd take anybody else, though, over him. I mean, those 4 would be close, and I would probably take Adams over Hill just because I don't know why, because I'm stupid and I'm just late to – I was late to Tyreek. I don't own him anywhere, and, you know, he hit somebody or something. I don't know. I don't know why, but I would probably take Adams over Hill, too. But so that would put him at worst, that would put him at wide receiver 4 for me. Did I break the internet? That's going to break the internet.
That's what I'm talking about.
At least in our circle.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely going to tell everybody about this. But more importantly, some dude on the Saints just fumbled through the end zone and it's a safety with a minute 44 left.
Oh my God.
And Carolina gets the football.
Or it's, right. Yeah, it's just a touchback. It's not a safety. My bad. So, yeah, they get the ball, except I'm playing against Christian frickin' McCaffrey, and I'm about to lose because they're going to throw him the ball 6 times on this drive.
Yep.
They need to throw it, like, deep to Sam. You need to just get a TD, and then I...
Oh, was that Kamara, too?
No, it was number 11. Was that Tommy Lee Lewis or something?
Oh, yeah. I have my glasses on.
All right, so, yeah, I'm going to...
we're gonna
not watch the rest of this while recording. So Spoony, follow Spoony at Spoony4_ until we can don't actually bug the guy who has Spoony, because that's just so messed up. But maybe like bug the guy who has Spoony and 3 underscores, and we'll start working our way towards
it. Yeah, we'll work our way up. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Otherwise, I don't know if I'm going to have a good night, Brian. I can't answer that right now.
But I'm always here if you need to talk, buddy.
All right, I'm going to flip the hell out. All right. See you later, my guys.
All right, see you guys.
Later, Outhouse. See you, Spoony.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addicts Podcast. You can follow the pod on Twitter at Trade Addicts Pod. And follow our hosts at Dynasty Outhouse and at Brian Hart. Please remember to subscribe and review the podcast.